The NBA playoffs are here, and with FanDuel, your group chat's about to be going off. Because right now, new customers can bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets if you win. And with live bets, your heart emojis will really be racing from tip-off to the final buzzer. Plus, when you win, you'll get paid faster than your friends can send you a victory gift. Or is it GIF? Who cares? You won! So get the word out to your crew and download FanDuel today. New customers bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets if you win. Make every moment more with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Official partner of the NBA.
21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See full terms at FanDuel.com/sportsbook. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Well, we made it to hump day, and it's April 1st to boot, and that means another Wednesday Hawkeye Nation Mailbag podcast. This is Rob Howe, publisher of Hawkeye Nation, with you guys again, trying to get through this pandemic as best that we can, and I've got some coffee here with me. Having to record this about 10:15 a.m., on Wednesday, April the 1st. I had planned to do this in the afternoon, and most likely we'll do these in the afternoon moving forward, but we have a teleconference, not a press conference. We can't do face-to-face in-person stuff, right? So we're doing a teleconference with Coach Kirk Ferentz today at 1:30 Central Time here in Iowa City. So had to shift this to the AM and give you guys this a little bit earlier in the day than I normally would on Wednesdays. But let's jump into your questions. Let's start with Facebook because I only have a couple on here and then I can knock that one out of the way. Scott Thompson on Facebook asks, when do you think LeVar Woods will get his shot at becoming the defensive coordinator, or thoughts on him as a coach? I think LeVar's a good coach, and I think he's really done a great job with Iowa's special teams since shifting over there a few years ago from being the tight end coach, and he was the linebacker coach before then. Real versatile, knows the game well, played it at a high level both at Iowa and the NFL, and I think he continues to get better. He's really good on the recruiting trail as well. As far as being the defensive coordinator, I'll take that to mean at Iowa. I don't think Phil Parker is planning on retiring anytime soon, and I think the next in line would be Seth Wallace for defensive coordinator here. The thing with Seth Wallace is if Phil Parker ends up, you know, going however many more years, but, you know, continues coaching for a while, Seth may want to move on to a different defensive coordinator job, even though he's pretty much Hawkeye through and through. I think if the right opportunity came up, he would probably take a look at that. But I could see LeVar Woods maybe, you know, moving around on the staff. It's kind of like, it reminds me a little bit of somebody like Carl Jackson, who kind of, you know, was a running back coach and that was his thing and really got locked into that and did a great job with it. Maybe special teams is LeVar's thing. Maybe that's the thing that he seems to have a knack for it. He seems to be creative. You know, Coach Kirk Ferentz seems really comfortable with him there. But I think, those that listen to this and know me know that I've been around for quite a while. And I remember Hawkeye Football tweeted out LeVar Woods' return against Northern Illinois during Iowa's only win in the 1999 season, Kirk's first season. I remember being at the old press box in Kinnick Stadium for that one. And have known LaVar for years and have a lot of respect for him, and both as a player and as a coach. And it's great having him around. He's a great asset to the program. Cole Thornton asked, how's Patrick McCaffrey doing? We seemingly get this question about every week, and had a chance to just kind of check in with Patrick last week, I think it was, and he said he's feeling good and continuing to make progress. And obviously with the sports such shutdown, it's not great for him because he's trying to, build up strength and trying to continue to work with trainers and medical staff to try to get his nutrition and meds down for the cancer he had when he was in eighth grade. So, but he's moving along, and he certainly plans on being back on the court for sure. So that will take care of the Hawkeye Nation Facebook questions for today. So I'll knock that out of the queue. Let's go to Twitter, and this does not mean that I think any less of my good folks on the HN message board. I just saved the best for last. You're not buying that. Oh, let's see here. The Stuff and Things podcast, Quad One podcast in parentheses. That's at Stuff and Things podcast on Twitter. Not had a chance to listen to that yet, but we'll have to give that a shot. Now that I have a lot more free time on my hands and I'm looking for escapes like all of us are during this time. Time for a coffee sip. Thank you for hanging in there with that unprofessional drinking on the podcast. At least it's not beer yet. We usually wait till the evening for that. I am consuming much more beer now than I was before, though. But I wasn't consuming a lot before, so it's all relative. And I asked you folks to use the hashtag HNmail. It just kind of makes it easy for me. I know a few people did not do that today, and I'll try to get to your questions if I can locate them. But I search the HNmail hashtag because it just makes it easier to do these things. So if you guys could do that in the future, I'd really appreciate it. Makes it easier to follow along for this old man. But Stuff and Things ask, got a gut feeling on when we might get word on what Luka and Wieskamp's plans are for the off season. Yeah, we're all in a holding pattern. This seems like a question I get weekly as well. And from what I've heard and kind of what I've believed and felt based on what I've heard throughout the process is these guys wanted to go through the NBA draft process and get feedback. And I still think they want to do that. The issue now is, what is that process going to be? When is the draft going to be? When does the season resume? Does it resume? There's so many unknowns right now. We've got obviously this whole month of being shut down here, the whole month of April. So at the earliest, you're probably looking at June before the NBA season can resume. So it's really, I think they're just kind of waiting to see what the process will be and then if they can go through it, because who knows when, if there'll be college basketball or when that will be. There's just so many unknowns right now that I don't think there's any urgency for either Luka or Joe to make any decisions right now. I know we've seen some guys like Tyrese Halliburton from Iowa State declare for the draft, but I don't think those guys were looking to go through the process. I think they were just going into the draft no matter what. Some of the guys that have declared already. So I think more for the guys that want to go through the process and are still undecided about whether to go professional or return to college basketball, those guys have a little bit harder decision to make here. And there's really no process right now. So it's going to be a matter of waiting to see what the process will be and then how that fits into their schedule and then the college basketball season, if that's decided as well. These things are all kind of connected, so it's hard for them. And who knows? I mean, these guys may just get to the point where, hey, I know I'm coming back to college. I'm ready to announce that now. So we'll see. But I think these guys, there's no real urgency or rush for these guys to make any decision in that regard. What does this, this is Austin Hames or Hamus. I'll go with Austin Hames, AZHawk911 on Twitter. What does the 7-9 man rotation look like for Iowa basketball next season? How will Fran disperse the minutes? Will any freshman play if everyone comes back? The last part of your third question on that, I'll take first. I have a couple stories on Hawkeye Nation on Aaron Ulis. I think I published Sunday night, and then this morning I published a story on Tony Perkins, and that, you know, I intertwine into that story how the coronavirus has impacted the Indianapolis Guard, and then also got a, just kind of a feel for these guys and what they're looking for and what their goals are next season. I think they both are college ready and capable of contributing, but it's going to be a matter of where those minutes come from. As you said or asked in the first questions, I don't know how it can only be a 7 to 9 man rotation, because with everybody coming back, you had like a 7 man rotation this year. Granted, you lose Kreener and you lose Bakari Evelyn and even Riley Till, but you also have Bohannon, Jack Nungi, and Patrick coming back. So that takes you, you know, to already takes you to, what would that be, 8? And then you have the new guys coming in. You have Pencil coming back. I'm thinking, you know, just looking at it, you're looking at Toussaint, Connor McCaffrey, CJ Frederick, Wies Camp, Garza, Jack Nungi, Patrick McCaffrey, Cordell Pencil, Jordan Bohannon. We're at 9 now. So that's 9 right there. If you don't play any true freshmen, I'm probably missing somebody too that I'm not thinking about. But I think this is probably at least a 9 man rotation, possibly 10, 11, if some of the freshmen decide that they're going to break through. I do think they're going to redshirt at least 2 of the freshmen, if not 3, possibly more than that. But then you start getting classes backed up into each other, and it hurts on recruiting trail, because you're trying to get kids to come, but then they're looking and saying, hey, when I get there, you're going to have a backlog, you know, a back jam of a redshirt freshman ahead of me, you know, so you want to keep some, it's okay to redshirt here and there, but you can't redshirt a 5 man class. Somebody's got to play, at least one player. I would think at least 2 players from this class have to see action next season. And then who is that? And are they comfortable with getting whatever it is, 7 to 10 minutes a game, 15 minutes maybe at most. And I don't even know how that would fit in, but these things have a way of sorting themselves out. There are injuries, things like that. Then we move on to Long Hair Keel, or Kyle, Long Hair Keel. And that's at T-Bowing out here on Twitter. Do you think Jabo's decision to transfer will be affected by Luca and Joe's decisions to leave or stay? I'm not sure. I have not heard that Bohannon is going to transfer. I've seen that thrown out there as speculation. I'm not really sure why he would do that. He certainly, if he's able to come back and is healthy, is going to get his fair share of minutes on this team. And it's a good team with a chance to do really well. I'm not really sure why he would transfer. So I'm not sure where that's coming from. I know Jeff Goodman from Stadium had thrown that out there and got quite a bit of backlash on Twitter for, you know, suggesting that that might be the case. Maybe somebody from, you know, that is around Iowa is putting that out there. I have not heard that from Jordan or anybody in his family. I don't know why he would transfer. You think about his legacy here with Chris Street. He's Hawkeye through and through. To think about him going, I don't know, where's he going to go? To Wisconsin? Could you imagine him playing at Wisconsin? Or, I don't know, name the school, because if he went into the transfer portal, people would be all over him. Anybody that can shoot like that would be a hot commodity. But I don't think Luke and Joe's decision have anything to do with whether or not Jordan comes back. If Jordan wanted to leave, I would be really interested in doing an interview on that, because I would want to know kind of what it would be go behind something like that, leaving a program that has a chance to do really big things next season. And a program that you're really identified with. He's one of the faces of the Iowa program right now. Another coffee sip there. All right, let's move on to Austin Hames again. Will any of the following guys play significant roles this fall? We're switching to football here. Justin Jacobs, Logan Lee, Dane Benton, I think he means Belton, John Wagoner, Dallas Cradith, Noah Shannon or Seth Benson. I think all of those guys have an opportunity to take on bigger roles this year. I mean, Justin Jacobs has the pedigree, obviously sticking with his Iowa commitment after Ohio State made a heavy push for him. So I think, you know, with Christian Welch leaving at linebacker, there's some opportunities there. But Iowa's playing a lot of, you know, 4-2-5 as well. So what are the opportunities there? But I think all of the guys that you mentioned could certainly help on special teams, probably with the exception of Wagoner and Noah Shannon. And I think Shannon figures pretty well into the defensive tackle rotation right now, and Wagoner at defensive end. So I think both of those guys will show up in with playing time at their respective positions. Dallas Cradith, I'm not really sure where he is in his development. Highly regarded recruit, so I think a lot he's on people's radar just in terms of you know, what he would do when he got here. But I think it's taking maybe a little bit longer for him to develop than maybe his star ranking would have indicated. Logan Lee is another guy I think it's going to be in the defensive line rotation. Probably won't be a special teams guy either, but he will be in the defensive line rotation. I think Belton either figures into that cash position where he played last year and really played well, or maybe taking over the strong safety spot that's open now that Geno Stone has gone on to professional football. But I think if you're looking at one guy in that group that you mentioned that could have the most significant role, I think it's probably Dane Belton. Okay, AZN Hawkeye did not use the hashtag, but I will try to go and find his questions here because I told him I would try. Predict Iowa's starting five next season for basketball. I will go with Bohannon, Frederick, Wieskamp, Connor McCaffrey, and Luca Garza. So Bohannon, Frederick, Connor McCaffrey, Joe Wieskamp, Luca Garza. That's my starting five, but there are going to be a lot. As I mentioned earlier, I think there'll be plenty of guys who play. He had another question for me too. Let me see if I can find that. See, that I have to jump around. When you don't use the hashtag, I'm scolding you. I'm sorry. Stanley, Wirfs, Epinesa, or Stone, who will be missed more next season? Ooh, that's a tough one. I am going to go with AJ Epinesa. And the reason being is I think Iowa at that position, and this is no, that's not a knock on Stanley at all, but I think they've groomed Petras and feel real good about what he's going to be able to do this year. I just think the drop off at defensive end is more precipitous between what you had with AJ Epinesa and what these guys coming behind him. And not that those guys won't end up being very good football players. I just don't think they're ready to, you know, be as impact. They may never be as impactful as Epinesa, and chances are they won't. But I think there's going to be more growing pains there. As for some reason, I have some, you know, kind of a quiet confidence in Spencer Petras being able to step in and do the job. So I would definitely go with AJ Epinesa there just because of the lack of, I guess, confidence. I don't have confidence is the wrong word, because I think there are some good guys on that defensive line, but that is the position that concerns me the most after losing seven starters off the last two seasons teams rosters. So defensive line would be number one for that. All right, now I'm going back to the hashtag here. Let's see. Ryan Osbar, I hope I'm saying that he is Ryan Osbar. Ryan Osbar at Ryan Osbar one on Twitter. If the football season happens, do you think alcohol will be allowed at games moving forward to help entice the crowds back to the sporting events? I think Nebraska is really close to pulling the trigger. This is in good company. Oh, in good company from HN, by the way. Thanks for keeping us entertained. Thanks, Ryan. I thought I recognized your avatar on here. Thanks for asking the question on Twitter and using the HNMail hashtag, making my life easier. I guess when I look at your question, I don't think it's going to be hard to entice crowds back to sporting events after this pandemic. Hopefully, life gets back to normal after this, or whatever the new normal is after this pandemic. I think people are going to be chomping at the bit to get back to sporting events. And I really wonder if college football is played this fall, and I still am holding out hope, and I'm not jumping on that bandwagon that it's going to be, you know, it's not going to happen or it's doubtful or any of that. I think it's too far and too early to make that call yet. I think there's a good chance they play college football without crowds this year, or limit them in some way. I don't know how you would do that, but I wonder. But to answer your question, I don't think there will be alcohol this season at Kinnick Stadium, but I think it's coming. I would not be surprised if 2021 is the year it arrives. Again, if we go back to playing games regularly at the times of year where they've been played in previous years. So thanks for that question, Ryan, and I'm glad to see you on Twitter. And don't be a stranger on the HN message boards. I know it's a little tense there right now, but still enjoy your presence there. And we are still talking sports too on there, in addition to the coronavirus threads that have people, I don't know, arguing like they normally do about sports. They're now arguing about the virus, but such is life and such is the landscape on our HN message board. Ruben Aragon, Iowa City I assume being Iowa City native on Twitter. Assuming Petras wins the starting quarterback job, who do you think could win the backup role? Well, we only have two choices there, Ruben. It's either Deuce Hogan or Alex Padilla. Padilla has already gone through a spring ball and a season. Deuce Hogan is not. I think if Petras wins the job, I really see no reason to played Deuce Hogan beyond the four games. If we're, again, I don't want to have to keep qualifying this, but if things, you know, if the season goes the way we hope it does with 12 games and a bowl game, and everything is played, there's no reason to play Deuce Hogan beyond four games and burn his red shirt if Petras is going to be the starting quarterback anyway. You want to get another year between those two guys. So I think it's a toss-up. I think Alex Padilla obviously has even more of an edge now, because even if the season's played, they're going to have a limited amount of summer practice, I think, anyway. So, but it's a toss-up. I mean, I do think that the coaches are more than willing to name – the backup, who, like last year, they didn't have to name Petras the backup. It could have been why am I forgetting his name now, the young man that transferred from Texas, Peyton Manziel. He could have been named the backup last year, being the older guy trying to keep him around. But I like that the Iowa coaches don't play games with that. But I think Padilla is a guy that people are overlooking. This is a guy that Georgia came in on and wanted. I think he's going to throw his hat in the ring pretty hard and maybe have a chance to surprise some people. All right. I think that's it in terms of Twitter mailbag. So let's go to the message boards. All right. Let's see here. Let's start with basketball, because I think I have more questions in here. Let me take another sip of coffee, too. I need this.
Needless to say, you don't play favorites, but every family has a natural unspoken hierarchy. Longest legs up front, shortest kid in the way back, and the one with the best attitude? Right smack dab in the middle. Sorry, buddy. The first ever Lexus TX is a three-row SUV where everybody wins. With loads of elbow room, cargo room, and leg room. For everyone, no matter where they sit, this is a new era of three-row luxury. The Lexus TX. Experience amazing at your Lexus dealer.
Spectrum Business works with small businesses nationwide, so we know that running your own business means doing it all. Marketing, sales, inventory, customer service, and more. Spectrum One for Business helps you keep it all connected for just $49.99 a month. Get fast, reliable internet, advanced Wi-Fi with security shield, and a free mobile line for one low price. Stay connected and do it all with Spectrum One for Business. Only $49.99 a month. Go to spectrum.com/business to learn more. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
That was a big sip. Other than doing puzzles, how are you staying sane during this quarantine? Yeah, I've posted some of my puzzle work on Twitter, trying to find things to do like everybody else. So things that I do to keep sane, I play driveway basketball with my kids, the puzzles, take walks with my wife during the day, every day. I posted that on Twitter too. I got in some good steps last month. But I had started to exercise anyway. And like I said on Twitter, it's kind of offset by the increased beer consumption. So, but yeah, just trying to do what everybody else is, trying to get outside a little bit every day and work. I mean, I'm still working and still writing and trying to produce content to help folks escape from really a really tough and depressing time right now. So pretty much work, puzzles, and family time. I would say those are the three things that I'm doing to stay sane. Excuse me. Any upcoming classic games that you plan to watch or have enjoyed watching? I'm not a replay guy. I'm very much into live sporting events, which means this is not really a good time for me. I don't really go back and watch any classic games. I've got the 80s. I'm a Mets fan, so I've got the 86 World Series on DVD that I could watch, but I'd rather watch just regular TV shows and stuff like that than watch replays of sporting events where I know the outcomes. I will probably watch the Chicago Bulls Michael Jordan documentary that's coming up on ESPN. So I, as a Knicks fan, I can relive the agony of, you know, going through that as a Knicks fan when I was younger. So watch Jordan and company tear my heart out again. Have you watched Tiger King? I started to watch it and I was like, meh, did not interest me. I get that it's entertaining people and I'm happy that it's entertaining people and I'm glad people have something to use and as an escape and as a way to entertain themselves during this. But I'm a Better Call Saul guy, Ozark. What else have I watched? I watched Russian Doll with my wife, which was really good on Netflix. I'm trying to think what else I've been watching. I think we're going to watch Fleabag soon and just trying to find things like that. Westworld, I watched the first two seasons, but it's just kind of really bizarre. I don't know if my head is at a place where I can watch that right now and jump back in and trying to figure out what the heck's going on. But I appreciate you asking personal questions and it helps to talk about them. It's therapeutic. So I would recommend that you guys try to communicate and talk to as many people as you can. These podcasts help, even this one where I'm talking to myself, radio shows that I've been able to hop on here and other podcasts that I've been able to take part in all help. It helps to communicate. And when you can't, when there's not much face-to-face contact and we're all kind of self-quarantining right now, it helps to reach out and interact as much you can, however you can. Team has asked, Garza seems to find a gym to train. Have you heard if any of the other players have been able to find a gym to get shots up during the quarantine? I think a lot of guys are just going to parks, their driveways. But to answer your question, I have not heard. But I think most of the guys, being as it was spring break, ended up getting home. So if there are places to find gyms, but with schools and I'm going to have to find out where Luca's been working out. You guys probably know, and I'm probably just an idiot and haven't really looked into it that much, but he does look like he has a pretty nice setup. TK Sirius, the Love Doctor. Do you think Garza breaks out the 15-foot skyhook next season? Man, I hope so. That is such a lost shot. And I, you know, if you watch, I know I'm old, but if you watch films of Lew Alcindor, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, you realize what a devastating shot that can be when it's done well. And I'm surprised more players haven't used it. And I think it's perfect for a player like Luka, who's not overly athletic, but with a shot like that can get it off and make it that much more effective for him, and also give defenses something else to think about where they have to defend. So I sure hope so. I hope if anything good comes out of this, it's Luka being able to add more things to his game, more aspects, more weapons to his game. If he can do that, man, maybe he can actually win the AP National Player of the Year. I kid. He got ripped off, and we all know that. Who are one Hawkeye one asks, who are some of your favorite Hawkeyes to interview, both past and present? I looked at this question ahead of time, and I try to look ahead of some of these questions ahead of time, so I'm somewhat prepared and not coming completely off the cuff. So this would be, I don't remember, 97, 98 was my first season covering Hawkeye Athletics. So however many years that is, 23, something like that. I've interviewed a lot of players. But if I'm going back, I'm just going to – I wrote some down here, and I'm going to leave a lot of guys out, but your question is some of your favorites. So I have an out there if any former Hawkeye athletes are listening to this who I did not list. I loved interviewing you too, because there really weren't many players, and I wouldn't name them anyway, that I didn't enjoy interviewing at Iowa, or coaches for that matter. I've enjoyed all the relationships, and that's the best part of the job. But here's my list. Football wise, Colin Cole, who I did the pod and was a big reason why I got Colin to do the podcast with me last season, because I really enjoy his insights and interacting with him. John Loudermilk's another one that may surprise some people, but just really a cerebral, engaging guy to talk to. James Vandenberg, Fred Barr, Julian Vandervelde, AJ Eads, Abdul Hodge, Brian Ferentz, AJ Epinesa, DJ K, Albert Young, and Tristan Wirfs. So it's kind of a mix through the years. I tried to mix it up a little bit. And then basketball-wise, Luke Recker, Greg Brunner, Luca Garza, Devin Marble, Aaron White, Anthony Clemens, Reggie Evans, and Jess Settles. I also interview, I mean, I go back, obviously, with Jess, but, you know, Tim Dwight. There are so many guys that I've enjoyed talking to and who I've continued to talk with through the years. So thanks for that question and taking me down memory lane a little bit here. And then we'll get to the football board, and then we should be wrapped up with this, another mailbag podcast, which will allow me to get to the grocery store for my once a week shop. It just creeps me out being in the grocery store, man, with the blocks on the floor and wiping down the belt and the plexiglass between you and the cashier and people in the aisles just staying far away from each other. It's just so weird. The world has become so weird, but I am fully on board with everybody who's doing what they can to social distance and try to flatten this curve a little bit and get life back to as normal as we can, because it's getting bad and it's going to get worse here moving forward. By the time I talk to you guys next week, we're going to have lost a lot of other people, and there's a good chance we're all going to lose somebody close to us. So hang in there. All right, we're back on the football board. One Hawkeye one. Who asked the basketball question about the players that I interviewed, and I appreciate him participating in this. There is a growing thread on CyFan. I don't know what that is. I guess that's Cyclone Fanatic, filled with Twitter posts about Akram Wadley selling signed gear to Hawkeye fans, but not delivering after taking their money. Have you heard anything about this? I followed it just from the periphery on Twitter. I saw that, I guess, I forget what night that was, Sunday or Monday, where that became kind of a Twitter topic that people were going after him, and he was trying to defend himself. And I don't really know what the situation is there. I would have to look into it a little bit closer. I know Akram, and he is another guy that I probably could add to my list of, you know, players that I like to interview. I don't know if there's, I know he did tweet that because of the virus, they've stopped shipping now. I don't know if there were complaints before the virus hit that he wasn't sending things out. I, to be honest with you, I haven't really followed it that closely. One Hawkeye one, it doesn't surprise me if it's on a cyclone board that they're trying to stoke the fire if there is one there. So I would just be careful to buy in too much to what you're hearing out there on the interwebs. And maybe you can even reach out to Akram on Twitter. I think his DMs are open, and I think he's pretty open to interacting with Hawkeye fans. So I would try to get to him and find out an answer there. And maybe if I have some time, I'll catch up with Akram and find out what's going on there. And then we'll wrap up with SSC Kelly, another frequent contributor to this podcast. And I appreciate very much, contributes on the message boards as well. And I really appreciate all of you guys trying to keep this thing going here and helping us out, because it's tough for everybody around the world, and obviously the financial impact. And we're going to try to keep things going here at Hawkeye Nation as long as we can, and hopefully we'll have games to talk about again in the future. But SSC Kelly asks, coronavirus be damned, if you could do one face-to-face interview with someone right now, who would it be? And he has parenthetical reference, alive. And what would you ask them? I cheated a little bit. I did look at this question ahead of time just to kind of rack my brain a little bit, which is a little mushy these days. For me, it's the interview that's kind of the one that's I've tried for years and years. And I think I may have even talked about that on this podcast or written about it on the message boards. But Ronnie Harmon is just a guy, you know, people that I've talked to, I mentioned that I started in 97, 98 covering Iowa football and basketball and sports, Iowa sports in general. But Ronnie's one of those names that come up when people talk about the greatest Hawkeye football player ever. His name is definitely comes up in the conversation. And unfortunately his performance in the, Rose Bowl, as many of you know, is one that has been controversial for years, whether or not he intentionally fumbled. And that narrative that he did intentionally fumble, I think has hit him hard from the people that I've talked to that are close to him. And it's a reason why he hasn't agreed to do interviews with anybody, really. And you haven't seen him back as an honorary captain. I mean, he's natural for all that. He's not really around Iowa athletics, and that's all a shame. And I would, if I had a chance to ask him, I have a lot of questions, but I would just ask him how that narrative that accuses him of fumbling intentionally, meaning that he was on the take in the Rose Bowl, has impacted his life. Because this should be, I mean, his college career should be something that's celebrated, something that he's revered for, that when he comes back, he's just, you know, I'm going to say they throw parades, but I mean, it's just unfortunate that, you know, somebody that is so, was so important to us, such a, you know, great, you know, successful time of Iowa athletics in the 80s and Hawkeye football and Hayden Fry, isn't really much of a part of the program or the history anymore. This should be the time when that's happening, and it's not. And I hope someday I can convince him to do an interview, or somebody does. I would love it to be me and have that opportunity, but I would definitely ask him. I mean, that to me is the most, I would be most interested in the answer to, you know, what's life been like not being able to be connected. And it's really, you look at it, and I'm sure Iowa football would welcome him back. It's a choice on his part. So that obviously tells me he's pretty hurt by what has happened, and feels like a fan base or a portion of a fan base turned on him after all he gave to the university. So that's kind of where that is. And that was a good question to end this podcast on. Again, I appreciate all of you guys checking out Hawkeye Nation and interacting with me on Twitter and the message boards and reading the content and listening to the podcasts. We really appreciate you sticking with us and supporting us during this tough time. We're going to continue to try to produce content to serve as best of an escape as it can be during these tough times. But be safe out there and you know, hug the ones you love, and we'll catch up with you again next week. I think I'm going to continue to do these mailbag podcasts every week, even if you don't want to listen to them. They're therapeutic for me, so I'm going to do it. It'll be a little bit self-serving as well. But thank you guys again. This is Rob Howe, publisher of Hawkeye Nation, and we will talk to you soon.